Are we a sign or a destination? You see, the news is always embarrassing. Someone who was not what he or she claimed to be has been discovered to be a fraud. The University of Notre Dame experienced that embarrassment early in the 2000s when the coach that it had hired was found not to hold the degree that he had reported on his resume. We live in a world where many times people pretend to be something other than what they are. In the past several years, we see what happens when people turn blind eyes to those things around them. We don't have to look very far. We can look at Penn State and look at the tragedy and the atrocities that took place there. And we can look at our own University of North Carolina. You see, we have people who claim in this world to be doctors but have never gone to medical school. One that says, oh, I'm a lawyer, yet they've never been to law school. People who claim to be single, but guess what? They turned out to be married. You see, this age of pretension, this time of the great pretenders, is what we might name our moment of history if we took the time. You see, that is what makes our text today so very refreshing to us. When the Jews questioned John the Baptist about his identity, thinking that perhaps he could be the Messiah, John quite openly and adamantly says, oh no, I am not the Messiah. John was clear about his role in the grand scheme of God's work. He was a voice crying out in the wilderness, make straight in the way of the Lord, he says. He echoed the words of the prophet Isaiah. How he would not claim, though, to be what he was not. John was a sign that was to point away to the truth. But John refused to pretend that he was the truth. He said, it's not me. You see, John the Baptist models a behavior from which the church can draw rich lessons. The church is never the end of faith. It points the way to the object of our faith, which is Jesus Christ. You see, we exist to serve Jesus. That's our existence. We exist to serve Him and to give back and to share and tell others about Him. That's what we do. Everything about us and all that we do should point to the One who is the true light. You see, the Word is necessary in an age when the church can sometimes pretend to be the be-all and end-all of faith. You see, the church is always a sign that points the way, which means that sometimes it must examine itself to make sure it is not in the way. Think about that. You see, the church is always a sign that points the way to the cross, the way to Christ, which means that sometimes you and I, when we look at ourselves and look at our church, we must examine ourselves to make sure that we are not in the way. You see, Jesus, the gospel teaches, is the true light, which enlightens everyone, each and everyone around us, our whole world. You see, in this time of national exclusivism and religious suspicion of traditions different than our own, we got people who are paranoid about everything. And in the midst of that paranoia, things pop up. In the midst of paranoia, people become paranoid. What happens when somebody's paranoid? They think things that are not there. They see things. They behave differently. They start blaming people. They start making accusations. You see, it's attempting to claim that we have a special revelation from God. You know, that happens in this world that we live in because we feel like we're the only ones. I heard a young pastor many, many years ago say the invocation at a community gathering shortly after the World Trade Center had been attacked and thousands of people had been killed. And he prayed, God, you are the God of America. Well, yeah, God may be the God of America, and I know He is, but He is also the God of all the worlds, the cosmos. He's the God of everybody. But you see, part of that revelation that Jesus, the true light, brings is the reminder that God is larger than all of our creeds and is wider than our national boundaries. You know, we like to think that we own God. We like to think we've got the corner market on Him. We like to think He belongs to us and everybody else is kind of on the outside. But you know, that's not the truth. We as Christians don't need to put God in a box. You know, that's not a nice place for Him to be. We like to take Him out and worship every now and then. It's okay, you know, when I'm put God back. We pull out our Bible on Sunday morning if we find it. Not all of you, but part of you. Some people have to figure out where it might be. Some people have no clue where they might find one. I say, I think there's one somewhere in this house. That's sad. We put God in a box and we bring Him out ever so often. We put God in a box because we think God is only our God and no one else's. On this third Sunday of Advent, we remember our brother John the Baptist, John the Baptizer, who pointed beyond himself to the one he called the Lamb of God. And we remind ourselves that this one gave himself for the sin of the whole wide world, not just our little corner of the world. You see, perhaps the message we need to bring to the world this Advent is that the light that shines through Christ is a revelation that all of us are children of God. This means the people we do not understand or we may not even like are children of God. You know, when something's different, we tend to say they're crazy. When it's somebody we don't quite understand, I don't want to deal with them. When it's situations that come in our way, we get angry and we start being defensive over something we have no idea what's going on. When we see something that's different than what we believe, we put up boundaries. We stop. We say, can't do that. I'm not going to go any further. I don't want to get involved. You know, we live in a world where we need to stand up for what we do believe in. We need to stand up for what is right. We need to stand up as Christians and do what God has called us to do and be. You see, the light that enlightens everyone is a reminder. It's that reminding light that teaches us that we cannot say, "My Father who is in heaven." We've got to say, first, we've got to learn. We've got to learn to say, "Our Father." We say it every Sunday. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That's not just your Father and my Father. That's our, the whole world, the church in general, the whole world. Our Father. He comes to us. He knows us. We have to know that before we can actually say He's mine. Because I believe. You see, to a religious system that had come to believe it had a corner of truth, John brought a word that a true light was coming into the world, and it would enlighten everyone. Later, in the glow of that light, Peter and Paul and others came to the awareness that God loved the Gentiles just as much as He loved the Jews, just as much as He loved everybody else. See, those Gentiles were those people that were not quite as good, they thought, as the Jews. And He says He's come for even the Gentiles. If He can come for even the Gentiles, surely He can come for us. You see, God loves us all the little children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. You see, that same light glows in our world and is teaching us that God loves the very people we love to hate, whomever they are. And we, by God's grace, are a sign that points the way to the enlightening light. Praise God for such a ministry in a dark and hurting world. I want us to do something real quick. I want you to sing with me this morning. Guess what I want you to sing? Yes. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Amen. Let us stand this morning and walk as a child of the light. As we stand and sing hymn number 206, we need to take our light out into the world. Stand as we sing hymn number 206.